Good evening. You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Matthew chapter 2. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on giving and receiving. I think it was very thematically appropriate for the holiday season. It's a season in which we give gifts and receive gifts. And the reason for that is actually here in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 7. This is after Jesus Christ was born, when he was still just a little baby. It says, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till they came and stood over where the young child was." So this is after Jesus Christ was born, but he's still a young child, not just like a little baby in the manger, like all the stories tell you, but he was a young child. He was little. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." And that's the first New Testament usage for the word joy and rejoice, was at the finding of Jesus Christ, which is kind of cool. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Right? And so this is the record of the wise men. And they came to bring gifts unto Jesus Christ because they viewed him as a king. Right? And it was customary to bring a king gifts. But that's why traditionally we give gifts on Christmas. Go to John chapter 3, verse 16. But giving is a great thing and a very biblical thing to do all the time. Maybe not presents, but looking for ways to give, to serve. What can you do for God? In John chapter 3, verse 16, God sets the example. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God so loved the world that he gave. "And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Right? So this was God's example. God so loved that he gave, which means that giving is a product of love. Right? It's something that emanates from love. One of the best ways that you can show somebody that you love them is through giving. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "So God so loved the world that he gave." That was his first act of giving to mankind. Right, to get them to the place where they could be born again. And in verse 32 it says, "And he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Right? So it didn't just stop at, you know, the life of his only begotten Son, but with him God freely gives us all things that we need. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness, right? God takes care of our needs. God supplies our every need. God is our sufficiency in all things, right? And he does it freely. If anybody asks wisdom or lacks wisdom, he can ask God and God will give it to him liberally, right? God's nature is to give and to give freely. And it says in Ephesians that we're to be imitators of God. So we should be givers too. And if we remember how much God has given us, right, then it's easy for us to be giving to. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. It says, "But I say this: I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Right? That's God's attitude towards giving. He loves someone who gives cheerfully, willingly, because that's how God gives. And in verse 8 it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you have always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And God's just so cool, right? Like, he set this whole thing up so that as we give, we'll receive, right? As we give, we'll receive. If we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. Giving results in receiving. The bigger that we give, the more that God's able to bless us, right? And he wants us to be able to give, because then he gives back to us. He's able to make all grace abound to us, that we have everything that we need. And it's a heart thing with God, right? The thought of giving should excite us. It should get us giddy to be able to give, right? He loves a cheerful giver. You know, Uncle Harry, who was Dr. Werewolf's brother, would frequently give all that he had except for that last dollar so that God would have something left to multiply, right? And then God would just multiply it back up, and he'd be able to give it again. And that was his attitude. He loved to give. If you go to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 6, we'll look at a record in the Old Testament where this happened for God's people. But there was great joy at the opportunity to give. First Chronicles 29, verse 6. And the context here is that Solomon is encouraged to build the temple. This was something that David wanted to do for God, but his son was the one who was tasked with it. David was late in life at this point. In verse 6 it says, "Then the chief of the fathers of the princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God," so for the temple, "of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly," or eagerly, "because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." So the people rejoiced. They found great joy in their giving, in their ability to be able to give towards this wonderful thing that they were doing for God, that they were going to build this magnificent temple. And they found great joy in it. And it's because their hearts were in it, right? Verse 9 says, "Because with perfect heart they offered willingly," or eagerly, right? They had a great desire to do it. And there was great rejoicing in it. Proverbs chapter 11. So that's the kind of heart that God wants to see when we give. And it's such a big blessing to be able to give, right? They got blessed because they were given. And God was able to bless them back. Proverbs 11, verse 24. It says, there is that scattereth. And that word scattereth means to give freely, right? As one who sows, who just spreads it all around everywhere. There is that scattereth and yet increases. So there's somebody who's just giving it all away every chance he gets, and yet he increases. Yet he continues to get more and more and more. And by contrast, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, right? They hold back more than they really need to, but it tendeth to what?
Poverty,
right? Because there's no desire to give there. They're just so worried about not having enough that they hold back more than they even really should, and yet they still don't have enough. Verse 25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Right? So it's a principle in God's word that as we give, we'll receive. Right? As we give, God will provide the increase. And the analogy is the one who waters is watered himself. The one who, you know, is liberal with what he's doing is the one who's blessed and is made fat. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Because that's how our God gives to us, right? What's he going to hold back? What's he going to keep back from his kids? Right? There's nothing that he's going to keep back. So that's the way that he wants us to be with each other. That's the way that he wants us to represent him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Right? So again, it's a heart thing. And the thoughts here are, you know, or sorry, the treasures are our thoughts, right? What are we thinking about? Are we thinking about just the material things and how much we need and how much more can we get? Or are we thinking about the things of God? Are we thinking about doing his word? Are we thinking about the ways that we can give back? And it's a heart thing. It's not about material treasure or wealth or anything else. It's about living a life for God. Go to Acts chapter 20. This was Paul's parting wisdom to the believers and the elders in Ephesians. Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Right, so he's telling them that he wasn't a leader among them who was asking them for to do everything for him, to provide for him. That with his own hands, you know, he took care of his needs and the people with him. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to what? To receive. Right? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And he was telling them, he was teaching them not to build a life of covetousness, because it was very customary for, you know, the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees and everything, to receive all these lavish gifts from people and to expect that the people that they were leading and that they were over were going to be the ones, you know, providing all of this for them. And so he was teaching them as he was leaving them, don't build a life of covetousness, right? It's better to give than to receive. You want to give to those who have need, right? It says that we're to support the weak. But, you know, help who you can help. But we never want to have an attitude of like, what can they be doing for me, right? What can these people be doing for me? And that's what he wanted to leave them with, so that when they took over and they led these people in these fellowships, that they did it properly. And while we should give help to the weak and those in need, right, the Word of God says that they're to continue to work at it too, right, to do what they can do. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll see that principle here. So God intends for the body to be able to take care of each other, but he also expects that everybody pulls their own weight, if you will, right? God doesn't build welfare programs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly or undisciplined, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, which means free of charge, or not paying for it, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we may not be chargeable or a burden to any of you. Not because we have not powers or authority, the right to do so, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, again, undisciplined, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Right? So, you know, God made it so that the body would be able to take care of each other and that we would have things in common and be able to share so that needs get taken care of. But he also set up instructions so that it doesn't build a society of moochers and you know, communism, essentially, right? God wanted people to be able to work and to get blessed for the work that they're doing. God wants us to give of our time and our talents, too. And sometimes that's the way in which people can give, is of their time and their talents. But it always has to be with great love. Go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Because that's the foundation of it, right? We saw that in the beginning. God so loved the world that he gave. The foundation for real giving has to be love, because it is a heart thing, and that's what needs to be in your heart. When you really love, you're going to give cheerfully. You're going to want to bring people joy through your time, your talents, your energy, you know, whatever it is that you might be given. Malachi 3:10. Another way that you can give is through abundant sharing. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Right? This is God's instruction. He wanted his people to tithe. He wanted to build a culture of giving, right? And one way that we can do that is through abundant sharing, right? God promises that he's going to bless us when we do that. that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. As we give, we activate and make it available for God to bless us and for us to, you know, receive big things from God, which is really, really cool. Go to Galatians chapter 6. And when people are blessed, they'll give. Galatians 6, verse 7. Because a cheerful heart is one that's a giving heart. Galatians 6, verse 7. So whether it's, you know, material things, you're giving 10% of your income, or whatever it is that you can abundantly share, or it's your time, it's your talents, it's praying for people, you know, all that stuff that people need, it goes way beyond material stuff. A lot of it's heart stuff. A lot of it's, you know, things that people just need in their own lives. It's ways that we can give. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We saw that before. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," if we don't give up. "And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Right? So God wants us to be able to really give to the body, to really take care of the household of faith, and not to give up on it, not to be weary in well-doing, but to continue to give. And it says in verse 9, "For in due season we shall reap if we don't give up on it, if we stay faithful to it. God is able to bless us back when we do." Right? That's the way that he set it up. As we give, we receive. There is that scattereth and yet increases. That's the way that God designed it. And we'll close in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Right? That principle of giving and receiving. "Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Right? And that's what God wants for our lives. If we give, it'll be given to us. And that good measure means it's the proper amount, right? It's not a cheated amount. It's the proper amount in the vessel. And then it's pressed down, and then it's shaken together so that all the air comes out and everything is there. And then running over, right? Once the whole container is full, well, then there's extra on top, right? And that's the way that God wants to bless us back, right? Just like in Malachi, that he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there wouldn't be room enough to receive it, right? God wants to bless us back big time. In Corinthians, he said that as we give, he's our sufficiency in all things, so that we can abound to every good work. He continues to bless us back with more and more so that we can give bigger and bigger. And that's the principle that God set forth on giving and receiving.